The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always and not become weary. He went on to say, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought to himself, while it is true that I fear neither God nor respect any human being, because this widow who keeps bothering me, I will deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. But the Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he show an answer to their prayers? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Gospel of the Lord. With good reason, I have decided to give a very brief homily today because of the ritual, the great celebration of faith and the sharing of life given to us through our RCIA program. So let me look at this gospel briefly, and I'm going to quote from two books in an effort to discipline myself not to speak too long. The story about the judge and praying is found only in the Gospel of Luke. It's one of the unique stories. And actually, next Sunday and the Sunday after, we'll have two more stories from Luke's Gospel that are found only in the book of Luke. So we're dealing this year with Luke's Gospel. The second thing, it's very clear that the theme of Jesus' proclamation in this Gospel has to do with prayer. To pray constantly and to pray with faith. So let me just mention one or two words about prayer. First of all, prayer is not something you do. Prayer is something you allow. You don't achieve prayer. You don't conquer prayer. You don't fulfill an obligation to pray. You fulfill a need to pray. And prayer is rooted in relationship with Jesus Christ, relationship with the living God. And therefore, prayer is the action in which you allow God into your life in the most ordinary and pedestrian ways that make up the journey of a day. So let me speak about that very briefly. In Elie Wiesel's seminal book, called Night, he speaks about himself when he was a little boy in Transylvania. And he asked his father when he was a young boy, he needed a spiritual guide. He needed a rabbi, a guru. But his father said, you're too young. So he attached himself to Moshe the Beadle. The Beadle in synagogue language is like the sacristan. So he attaches himself to Moshe. And Moshe is a man of great spirituality. So one day, Moshe asked the little boy, Elie Wiesel, why do you pray? And he said, I never thought about that. Why do I pray? I don't know. Why do I live? Why do I breathe? I pray just because I pray. I don't know why I pray. After that, I saw Moshe often. He explained to me with great insistence that every question possesses a power that does not lie in the answer. Man raises himself to God by the questions he asks. He was fond of repeating, "This is true dialogue. Man questions God and God answers, but we don't understand his answers. We can't understand them because they come from a place deep in the soul and they stay there until death. You will find the true answers, Ely, only within yourself." And so he said, "Moshe, why do you pray?" And he said, "I pray to God, the God within me, that he will give me the strength and the wisdom to ask the right questions." The question is not whether USC will win over Notre Dame. That's a trivial thing. But the deep questions of your life, the struggles, the pains, the agonies, the crosses, the conflicts, the misunderstandings, the mysteries of your life, all hidden deep within yourself. And that's why he says, "I pray to the God within me that he will give me the strength and the wisdom to ask the right questions." The second quote that's attached to this comes from a recent book by a very familiar person to us, Greg Boyle, Father Greg Boyle. And in his recent book, Barking at the Choir, he mentions this very touching story. He speaks about Martha, who is now a home girl. Now she's working in the home girl industry with him. He says, Martha had a tough life. She was abandoned, she was tortured, abused as a child. She predictably transmitted her pain long before she transformed it. Gangs, drugs, prison filled the reality of two decades of her life. And she carries the particularly heartbreaking pain in her addiction, giving birth and having the child taken away from her by strangers. Now she works at Home Girls and is solid in her recovery, but the shame and disgrace, the principal suffering of the poor, still weigh heavily upon her. We talk one day in my office. Well, we talk about stuff, and she begins to sob. She folds her arms in front of my desk and rests her weary, weeping head upon them. I touch her shoulder and I ask, "Why are you crying?" She looks up and she blurts, "I wish you were God." This makes me chuckle. Why? Why do you wish I were God? When Martha came to a time when she could say words through her sobbing, she said, "I think you'd let me into heaven." Now it's my turn to cry. I reached across the expensive desk and I took her hands and to pull her close and I said, "Mija, I swear to you, if I get to heaven and you're not there, I'm not staying." Martha changed my life. Knowing her has altered the course of my days, reshaped my heart, and returned me to myself. Both of us diamonds covered in dust. She has not taught me that I am somebody, but she has taught me that I am everybody. And therefore your prayer comes from somewhere deep inside of you. Some glorious day, some wonderful day of grace, maybe your worst day in your life, a day when you are hopeless, a day when you are overwhelmed, a day when you are discouraged. It could be betrayal, it could be death, it could be a divorce, it could be some great failure in your life. This could be your greatest day. This is the day in which you surrender to a higher power This is the day on which your prayer will be not to look for anything in this world to console you or to carry you or to sustain you or to respond to your greatest need. It will be to belong to a power beyond anything this world can give. And that's the beginning of prayer. Prayer doesn't change God's mind. Prayer changes me. I become conscious of my poverty, my emptiness. I become conscious of the hypocrisy of depending on things in this world and neglecting the things that are beyond this world. Prayer comes from somewhere deep inside of me, and it comes from every day and the ordinary things that make up a day. So prayer is a journey. It's to become conscious of God's presence. As you journey through a day, to take a second look and say, look in the face of the child and you see the wonder of God. Look in the face of the elder and you see the struggles of years, the gift of years, the generosity of years. Praise God. Look at the burdens and the challenges you have in your life and say, thank you, Lord. Now you teach me that I must surrender to the power of Jesus Christ. It's only in your weakness and in your struggle that you can truly say, honestly, in faith, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. That's prayer. For me, that's a short homily. Amen.